PodNuts wants to thank everyone who supports the network by going to www.podnuts.com/Amazon.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geeksters, episode 158. This is a show where we talk about all things geekstery. If it's got a computer in it, at some point, we're going to talk about it. My name is Martin Obando. I'm one of the hosts here. Don't forget, if you want to watch us live, just follow me on Google+. I'm M. Obando. We send out notices when we're going to be live, usually the day of, and it varies. Sometimes just with our work schedules, we can't get to it on a consistent basis. Like this morning, it's 6:16 here on the east, on the Pacific Coast, and we're recording a show live. So come join us. We have a chat. You can watch the video. We'd love to have you guys there with us and just shooting us questions and just following along with us. Before we get going, I do want to thank one of our sponsors, Green Ink. That's G-R-E-E-N-I-N-K. Sorry, that's G-R-3-3-N-I-N-K.com. This is a gentleman who does wonderful banners and graphics and magnets and lettering. And if you need any kind of stationery or just advertisements for your business, or maybe you want some business cards, check out Green Ink. For more information, that's gr33nink.com. You can also go to podnuts.com, and right there on the left-hand side is a link for him. All right. Hey, Mitch, and hey, Tim. How's things going?
Good here.
It's like the morning or something. What is this?
It is the morning.
It's like my fault, too, because I don't think I was busy all week.
So. No, we're all busy.
I had things. Every night I had things. So now I'm hearing the more I'm paying the price. It's just stupid. Mornings, they just suck. I hate this. Well, so I'm ready to go.
Oh, I know. Hey, man, we're all busy.
Let's do this thing.
We're all busy. We understand.
I'm up at 5:20 every morning or every week.
I'm bringing like my D game.
That's right. I can't bring my A game this early.
Nope.
So Mitch, you're I don't know, man. You're just sounding a little more richer, a little more fuller, a little more got some oomph behind you.
Is it? I don't know. I just can't, you know, I don't need these things, but when I see a good deal, I feel like I have to have it.
Well, Are you sure?
Yeah, they had that Memorial Day sale at Guitar Center. So they had these Shure SM 48s for $30. And I got one, and I like it.
Yeah, you sound good. Is it, it's not a USB mic, though, right?
No, all XLR, yeah.
All XLR.
Yeah.
God, you sound good. That window is behind him. It's like blinding.
It is light out here. You know, you're not that far, Tim, from me. I'm sure it's light out there, too. That's what the light is. Especially, you know, I'm having all this, like, work done around the house. I had, like, 7 bushes removed recently. And there was one back there, probably, you know.
Oh.
And now there's nothing blocking that light from coming in, even though the shades are down. But I'm going to, we're getting landscaping done. We're getting the driveway repaired. I might get a new stove for the kitchen, get the deck painted again, and then I'll be done. Then we can sell the house.
Go flood the basement again?
No. It's called an indoor swimming pool. Two times is enough for a month. Actually, yeah, it's coming up on a year anniversary.
I thought the third time's the charm.
No, don't say that. Please don't. Matter of fact, all right, where I'm sitting.
Please don't say banging.
All right, where I'm sitting.
Like, that's not even funny. Don't even joke about that.
Listen to this. Where I'm sitting, all right, if you can imagine, if I go to the top to the left where my arm is, that's the back of the house, and that's where we have the water spigot going outside the house, and that's where it broke from that corner there where my hand is. And then we got it repaired, but it's off. It's turned off from the inside. It will never be turned on again. I'll tell you that.
Right.
I'm afraid to use it.
Good.
Nice. Yeah, I got to get some stuff done here at my house, too. But I have to call the HOA first and write up a proposal and get them drawings and diagrams. And
you have a brand new house, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, but we moved into an HOA. I see some benefit, but it's things like, we want to remove these bushes in the front of our house. Yeah, call the HOA. You need approval. And I'm just going to go rip them up. Things like it's a two car driveway, but it's just for two cars, which is fine. But the problem is that when you get in and out of each car, you walk inevitably on the edge of the grass.
Right.
And so what I want to do is rip up about a foot on each side and just gravel it. So that way I'm not, you know, my grass looks fine. And now I've got these patches and, you know, it's wet here in the Pacific Northwest and it becomes muddy. And then all I'm doing is just killing grass in the spring to the winter.
You have
because
to get permission.
I'm just mashing it down. So,
little things like that. Yeah. You know, I understand the Pacific Northwest, there's a roving band of punks that are ripping out shrubs in the middle of the night. Have you heard that?
I have not. I'm going to invite... Yeah.
It's a real problem.
I invite... If roving bands of punks are listening, I invite you. If you want my address, just ping me on Google+. I invite you to come rip up my shrubbery in the middle of the night.
It's become a real problem.
That's cool. Well, I don't know if you're looking at my... I'm not wearing my normal Bando computing shirt today. I've got Coach on. As soon as I'm done here, we're off to play some softball this morning. We played last Thursday. We lost our first game against the team that was 0 wins into the league, and came in undefeated, and they came in 0. Our girls were off. They just didn't.
It happens. It
was hard to come back from 12-0, bottom of the third, and our girls they had a rough time. So today will be better. But, you know, it's one of those things where it doesn't really matter throughout the whole season, because then you get to tournament and everybody walks into the tournament with 0-0. So, well, one of the things that I had did this week was, remember the Vent Smile computers? They were those little microcomputers that I had that were pretty tiny. I deployed those. Those went out 2 days ago to one of my clients. We ended up getting touchscreen monitors. The Vent Smile computers, we removed, you know, full size computers, monitors, mouse, keyboard. Now it's all nice and neat. And it actually, they worked out really, really well. I like the way that it looks now. The one issue we did run into, I need to contact the company, was, so on a touchscreen monitor, usually a touch is a click, right? And a hold equals a right click. Okay. In the Metro Internet Explorer, everything was great. You would, because if you needed any drop downs, it was a check-in station for kids in the mornings for some projects. And every now and then, if you were the admin, you would need to maybe change some of the registration dates or go into some of the admin modes. And you would click it and you get the drop down and everything would be fine. Now, this is the Metro version of IE, which automatically kind of loads in full screen. Everything was good. You go to check in somebody and it would error out. Mm-hmm. It would actually throw errors for the Dymo label printer because labels were then printed. Mm-hmm. But the printer was working. So we dropped out to the desktop and then used the Internet Explorer there. Printed just fine, except that this web page, because it's a web based, this web page, you have to hover over something to get the drop down. So you can't hover on a touchscreen, right? If you go to click it, you can see that it drops down, but then as soon as you let your finger go, it's like you unclicked it. And if you held it, you end up right clicking, which then means you just selected the word. Yeah. So there's some configurations that they need to work on. Hmm. And so these are just two issues that we ran into. It's like, well, it works really good using the Metro interface like it's supposed to. You know, the Metro IE on Windows 8 on a touchscreen worked like it was supposed to work, except that there were some printing issues. So we ended up having to go back to the other one. But everybody's really impressed with it. We have got already, you know, we set everything up and zip tied everything or used head table, some tie wraps and got everything all nice and neat. And so cable management was good. And the next question was, well, can we take the monitors now and mount them to the wall? Because there's a wall right there. And it's like, well, that's a good idea. So that may be the next step is, you know, baby steps, get this deployed and then turn around and mount these monitors to the wall and make everything really kind of seamless. So, very impressed with the Vent Smile computers. A couple little quirks with them. One of them that I ran into was every now and then it just doesn't power on right for whatever reason. There is that battery inside of those. So when you do unplug them, you can be portable with it, which is going to be a great idea that we may be able to use these in a portable setting. But, what I found is if you just unplug the power, turn on the machine, it'll boot up then, and you plug the power back in. So a couple little quirks I found with that. And this is a first generation Vent Smile computers, but overall for $125, if you need a micro, I mean, really, if you need a microcomputer that has 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs on board, you know, both 2.4 and 5 gigahertz wireless and 2 USB ports, done. I did need to buy a cable that went from micro HDMI because here at home I was using, I don't know if I remember that, but I was using it was micro HDMI to HDMI, and then I was going the HDMI female to HDMI female, right. And then to then male right. to VGA, and right. then you know, and so I ended up finding a micro HDMI to DVI because the monitors did have that, and out of the there were 10 something on Amazon. They were from StarTech. That's a cable company, right? I think StarTech, and flawless. Just first time booted up, worked just fine. So everybody's very impressed with it. Part of it's going to be a business contribution because it is an organization that's a nonprofit. So part of it's going to be a business contribution. Part of it's going to be they're going to pay for they're paying for the monitors and cables, but my time and actually the computers themselves. So it's going to be a contribution. So. Tomorrow's going to be the first day we're going to actually try it out in live, and but so far everybody's very impressed with it, and I'm looking forward to it. And then I get to play with my little compute stick. That's my next. I had a monitor. You can't see it, but there's a box back there, and it actually is a 28-inch TV, smart TV, and so that is going to go right above me. It has two HDMI ports, so that's going to go right above me. That's going to be for my GFI Max training. The first thing when my son saw, my GFI Max dashboard, so I can watch and see what's going on. Any kind of training.
The future is here.
Right. Well, but because the CompuStick is Windows 8, so this way I can do, you know, because I'll do a Hangout for GoToAssist. You know, I'll do some training or once somebody needs to talk to me. The problem is GoToAssist doesn't work on Linux. So this way I can go, you know, right to there, I USB mouse right into it, and so when my son saw the TV, because he, he's like, "So are you getting that Xbox now?" Because my son wants me to get an Xbox up here so we can play together, essentially. So that's not out of the realm of possibility. I have a friend who's giving away an Xbox, and he just doesn't want it anymore, and so there, that may happen where I can put an Xbox because my son says, you know, then we can play Battlefield against each other, and he would really like that. So that may be a great way that we can spend some time together.
Sounds fun.
So yeah, so I got some projects today. I'll be putting up. I won't be able to mount the TV, but it's a smart TV as well. So I'll be getting it all set up, and you know, because there's things on Hulu and Netflix.
I don't know. This isn't an office anymore.
Oh, it's a
command center.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to have secret codes. I'll have to break the code. You know.
Like a fortune cookie?
Well, yeah, like we have like the what's the big opening scene of War Games where they have to the two people have to break the code, and they have to confirm. So that's when my wife wants me to come down for dinner. She'll have to give me a code. I'll have to crack it. I'll have to have confirmation. I'll wear a key around my neck.
Who's the second person?
Oh, I haven't chosen one. That's me, myself, and I.
Okay.
So I'll have to confirm with myself.
If you're going to turn two keys, make sure they're like both in reach.
Oh, man. I didn't plan this one very well, did I?
I don't think they usually do that. They don't usually put them both in reach.
No, that's what you have to
do. I mean, it's okay. Like, if yours aren't, that's typical.
Well, right. It's just going to be me. Maybe I'll have the ice cream person come and help me. I can only come to dinner when the ice cream lady drives by.
That would be just like if you're on the street one day and some guy's like, "I'll give you $5. I need you to turn a key for me."
That's okay. Right. And he's like, he says, "I'll give you ice cream if you hop in the van." I'm like, "Oh, that's an interesting. Which way are we gonna go with this one?"
Wow, this sounds like a submarine. I really turn a key. Wait, not yet.
Darn it! Now I can't go to dinner.
Okay.
So you guys been working on anything? And Mitch is going to get some landscaping done.
No, just playing around with my new router. Bought that new USB AC adapter, wireless adapter. What else? My new mic. Not too much.
Too much
at all.
I am. Speaking of USB wireless adapters.
Oh, he has one.
It's the command center.
We need a drum roll. We need a drum roll.
I think he's hiding. It looks like he's hiding, but he doesn't think we can still see him.
If I can't see you, you can't see me.
Drum roll.
No, okay, I can't find him. But I have some. So I think I left them. I'll have to pick them up. But at the company that I just replaced the Ventsmart ones, I had two little ASUS USB adapters on each machine. And they worked great. And I wish I knew the name of them. And that's the what I was finding, but I had some TP-Link ones in there, or maybe not TP-Link, some TrendNet ones in there, and they just wouldn't work. And so I picked up these ASUS, and they're tiny. They're, you know, the size of your, right. Of those micro, mm-hmm. You know, for your mice and your keyboard and the, right. the wireless ones. And they were so good. And I had zero issues with them dropping out I moved from onboard PCI, you know, antennas, the whole thing, but they were TrendNets and they just didn't last. And these little ASUS ones were perfect. And I think they were $15, $20 a piece. So they weren't very expensive and they worked great. I think they were N, but we didn't have N at this company, but, mm-hmm. They worked great, and I'll have to get them for next show to mention them. But they're so tiny that they'd be great for text if you need to just buy a couple, put them in your bag, or put them in your, you know, maybe you have a kit in your car that, you know, oh, we just need wireless really quick.
See, I do use that. Like if I'm going somewhere to, you know, I know they have wireless. I do have one of them, USB. It's I forgot the name of it. It's this white one. It's a USB, just a plain, it's N. And I think it's a Cisco, and I paid like $10 for it, and it works great. Like if I'm working on a computer upstairs, you know, I want to do it in the living room. I don't have no Ethernet connections. I'll use if it doesn't have wires in it, I'll use one of these, and I'll just update it upstairs. You know, walk and watch TV, stay with my wife.
They work good. Actually, I found them on Amazon. They're the ASUS USB N. 10, so the USB N10. They're only 150 megabits, you know. So, but they do support WPS if you are running that, which you shouldn't be. But they're USB 2 and they're super tiny. So the ASUS USB N10, and they work great. And I think the Amazon here, I'm not logged in, but it's 2048, so they're not that expensive.
Actually, after last week's show, I went into the router and turned WPS off.
Did you turn off Universal plug and play as well?
I don't know. Is that a separate tab?
You could have devices that are accessing the internet without your permission.
Well, I don't think. WPS is definitely turned off. Is there a tab for that? I gotta look around.
Yeah, there's probably something for UPnP. And what that is that's so that's that universal plug and play where devices then will request a port to either go out or in, and they'll just automatically turn it on for you. And so. What you want to do is turn that off. That way, when you have devices that need to run over a certain port, you know that that it's not. You get the basic. Essentially, you allow the devices to go because you have to manually open a port, as opposed to just letting, whatever, just start randomly talking out there. Because you have things like, you know, if you're running, maybe you have a torrent client because you're downloading Linux ISOs or something like that. That's going to ask for different. Ports, and you know that's the whole point of that UPnP is to turn that off. It's another layer of level of security. It's just, you know, the WPS is all about wireless people actually getting on your network, where UPnP is all about applications accessing the internet and allowing other applications into your network. I finished up. I did share file training last night. That was good. So this was that whole long. Share file debacle that I've been running into. And it actually, after doing the training and working with it yesterday, I'm really, really impressed with the way that they have set this up. It was about an hour and a half for the training. I thought it was going to be a little less, but we just had a lot of questions. And I actually was teaching my client how to use share file. There was going to be four upper managers. One was sick. One was there for a little bit, and he ended up having to leave early. But the two that stayed, we just spent a good hour and a half just hammering things out and questions. And I started with their web interface and how you can do everything, and then they have Outlook integration. It was funny, Tim, because they actually said, "Okay, here comes the sizzle," and I thought, like,
"Yeah, all right."
So the web is just So. I said, "Yep, we've gone over the steak, and here comes the sizzle."
Oh man, you do a double take, like, "Oh,
what, Tim?" We went over the web interface, which is a normal web interface. Nothing, you know, pretty cool stuff, but nothing earth shattering. Well, then you have with ShareFile has Outlook integration, and when you set up Outlook integration, it walks you through just the basic settings for it. And one of the things that it does is it automatically monitors for any attachments over 5 megs and makes some share file links. So in your ShareFile account, you have your own login. You have your own login, and then you have a way to share documents. So you log in, you have your own kind of space for your own data, right? And then you have maybe your company shared data, okay? If I'm going to send, if I have Outlook integration, I'll set up my Outlook, and then I start attaching files, and by default, it's after 5 megs. I can attach a file, Tim, to you that is from within ShareFile. It has this great drop down like a tree, and it's really, really slick. And all of a sudden, now I just attach it, you get a banner, I email you, and it says, hey, download here. This is where you're going to download. And it's a download with a nice, it's a banner with a logo. And so it really looks professional, like it came from the company. So you're just not getting an email that looks, you know, kind of sketchy and just, hey, click here on a link.
Yeah.
What that does is a couple things. It makes it that I can email you much faster because I'm not having to send a 25 meg file through the internet. And then that's not counting against my storage space because I write things out. It's going to sit in my sent items. Then what happens, the other thing is that, so I need to send you a whole bunch of data, but it's local on my machine. It has nothing to do with the shared file. So I click, you know, through all this stuff. Maybe I want to, and it's 5 megs cumulative. So if I'm sending 4 files at 2 megs each, after the next file, what happens is it automatically kicks over to ShareFile. You know, you have your normal attachments. It kicks over to ShareFile, and then you hit send, and what it does is it takes all of that data that you want to send locally on your computer, and it uploads it to your own ShareFile folder, and then you get a link that you can download. You can set limits on downloads, like you have to sign in, so you have to create an account or not. Or I can give you can download all of this data forever, and it never expires. Or I can give you I can give you a day to download it. I can set how many times you can download it.
Yeah.
So all of this works. I mean, just I was really impressed with the way that Citrix ShareFile set up the way that you can share data and put data out there. And then they have a mobile integration that is pretty close to that. And it works really well. So, you know, I have a lot of these clients are the ones that travel. This is the property management company where I have to go down to Palo Alto every now and then. But one of the property managers is always in her car. She's always traveling. That's her job, right? She's not at the office very often. This means that, you know, she can be in the airport realizing that she needs to send a file to somebody on her phone, set it up. It sends within ShareFile. The banner is exactly the same. And she can point and choose and just mass send out all these emails to clients or painters, or they're asking for requests, you know, and it all gets handled by Citrix ShareFile. You can receive files. So they were really excited about this because they have projects going on. Maybe it's an apartment complex that needs painters and they're getting bids, right? Well, instead of having the contractors email them bids, or, and then you end up with all these emails, or faxing them, and then you end up with all the faxing. What happens is you can actually say, Tim, I'm going to request a file from you, and I'm going to send you a link. You get this web interface where after you click the link, and all you do is you can either drag and drop or say, find my files and point and click, you know, and select, and it drops in there, and it uploads all to a folder that's already been created in the back end. So my clients now can say, you know, we've got a project happening. We're going to email, you know, all of these clients, you know, we're taking bids from all these painters. We can send them all the same link, and every one of them can just upload their bid to this one location. And now instead of it going into email, and then did you receive it, or who did get the email? Because maybe you have a couple managers trying to look at this project. You know, now it's getting saved, you know, into ShareFile, which is then syncing to the local drive. So if you have somebody remotely, they can use the web. Or, you know, if you have somebody on site, they can actually use the local server. And then all of that data then is getting backed up to the cloud for disaster recovery. So it's just the integration.
That sounds real smooth.
There's so many different ways and so many different choices to do it. But after we kind of sat down with it and really kind of looked at the big picture, they walked away so excited because it gives them a chance to be able to be, you know, because they're busy. I mean, this is a busy company. They're all over the place. They're always getting new clients. They're always, you know, maybe buying new apartments or something like that. And you know, but they travel. You know, so this gives them a chance to say, we can still work and be productive when we're not. We don't have to be at work. We can be in the car. We can be at the airport. We can be at a coffee shop, and we can do exactly the same thing we can do when we're, you know, in our main office.
Yeah.
So that's very outstanding. I don't know the price. It's not cheap. I can say that. I remember it being not super cheap, but I think if you're in a big enterprise and you have to really share a lot of data on the web, This may be a way to go, and I'm going to start looking into it and see if this is something that Obando Computing wants to do. I'm bringing somebody on. We need to share data. Right now we're going to be using Google, Google Docs and sharing data that way, which will probably work out just fine. But, maybe for future growth, get the foundation laid early.
We use Citrix for applications across the network, and I don't know how it works, but it's like, it's so fast. I'm using stuff that's across the country, accessing our applications. Like we use a warehouse management system program called Catalyst, and it's going through Citrix. And once in a while, we'll get slow, but this is, we got facilities across the country. It just amazes me how fast it is, it's not local, amazing.
Right. That's what I remember Citrix being, is that virtual machine where you can essentially, if you will, because my wife uses it for her work. Mm-hmm. She comes home and she logs into Citrix and logs into these servers in Mountain View. And that's where she's able to work on her stuff after work. And she just, it's just like she's sitting in her office.
It's not like I'm logging in. Like I want to run, open up a Catalyst session. You can do as many as you want. I might have 10 sometimes. Now we got rid of an employee, so I'm getting some of his chores. But so I might have like 10 different terminals open. But anyway, when I open it up, you can see it's running a script and you can see Citrix comes across it, blah, blah, blah. It takes a little bit for it to pop open, then you sign in. But it's amazing.
Yeah. When I took my, when I went to Cisco training years and years ago, one of the gentlemen that I met there, he was there because he doesn't work for Citrix, but his main job, like he was a Citrix professional. He went around and his job was to set up Citrix for companies, and he was so busy. But that's all he did was set up Citrix remote stuff. And now they've expanded. So check out Citrix ShareFile if you're looking. It may work for you. Like I said, it may be, depending on the size of the company, you may be trying to kill a mosquito with a shotgun. But for this company and the remote assistance they need, it's going to work out. It's going to work out really, really well. And I'm very excited to start using it more for them.
Are they a sponsor? No, just
no. They're not a sponsor. They're a sponsor of Obando Computing. So I reloaded my distro on my laptop last week.
Again? Again. Really?
And that's okay. That's okay. I tested it and all the testing worked out fine. Apparently I didn't do a full enough testing. So, I'm running it now. It actually works out good. There's a lot of things that it works out really well and I like it. And it's Ubuntu Mate. Because I like the old version of GNOME. That's just me. Throughout the week, I was running into these tiny issues where, this application wouldn't work right. We ended up having to just make a shortcut to a script and make an icon. And so it's like, okay, that's fine. And then this thing wouldn't work completely right. And these icons kept getting moved and, little things where you go, okay, it's not, I can see that it's not, I can see that it's maybe is having some issues. I'm running 14.04. Ubuntu Mate became an official distribution at 15.04. So this is really an unofficial version, but it's the LTS version. It's the long-term support. So I wanted to run that. Then I went to this training and I was up early in the morning. I set up all my scripts. I set up all my files because, I was pretending to upload and pretending to download and pretending to share. And so, I had my VM all set up with Outlook 2013, which is what they're running. So they can see the Outlook integration. And, I wanted to make it look like what they're going to see, exactly what they're going to see. And I was ready to go, ready to rock. And I get there and I print out my syllabus for this training and so they can follow along. And I plug in the external monitor, which is just a big TV. And my video just goes wonky, just starts to flash. Both monitors just flashing. I'm like, all right, no problem. Shut it down, reboot it with the external monitor in because, need to do that. Bring it back up. Login screen works fine. No problem. It's a little off-centered, but I think that's just due to resolution. Log in and then black screen. And just flashing again. And you touch your keyboard and it flashes faster. So it's flashing at the same at the same key rate. You know what I mean? When you hold down a button, it goes A. It's flashing that fast. So
nice.
I spend about 20 minutes getting this, trying to get this to work, and I'm so frustrated because I have all my stuff set up and I'm ready to go with this, right?
That's the worst.
And it's not working. So I end up having to just boot up normal, grab my thumb drive, grab all my scripts, grab everything, go to their training laptop, which is in their, you know, Windows 7, which is in their conference room, boot it up, put all my stuff thumb drive over there. I don't have a virtual machine on that machine, so I have to use their, I got to create, you know, put all my email account information in, create my account in Outlook, log in, but it's Outlook 2010. So luckily the buttons for share file in Outlook 2010 and 13 are exactly the same. They act exactly the same. I was afraid it was going to be, well, this one's green, but yours is going to be blue, and this one looks like this logo, but this, you know what I mean? The 13 to 10. It worked out fine, but that was kind of the, I was voxing with Door as this was happening, and I think I wrote AG and then like 45 H's. And I was so frustrated, and I really wanted to give Ubuntu Mate a try, but unfortunately, I have to have a distro that works pretty much solid all the time. It's just part of the, if it's my primary machine and it works great for me, it can't be flaky.
Which version worked good for you in the past?
Pardon me?
Which version worked good for you in the past?
Okay, so what I ran was running in the past was just Ubuntu with GNOME fallback.
Okay.
So it looks like the old version. Well, the GNOME fallback, because I asked Dora, I said, well, what's the difference between GNOME fallback and Mate then? Because, or Mate, depending on how you want to say it, because they look the same. And he says, well, Ubuntu fallback is GTK. And I don't know what that means, other than the fact that he said it's GTK. Yeah. And Mate is not GTK, but it tries to look like it. So it's actually, even though, you know, you have two red cars, they're both different. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to have to probably either switch back to GNOME fallback. But that's kind of being pushed off by the wayside. Nobody's really supporting it anymore. So I think what I'm going to have to do is use the laptop behind me, really do some heavy testing on GNOME 3. Which is the new up and coming. Everybody likes it. I mean, Dor really likes it. You know who just raves about GNOME 3, the new version of GNOME, is Jonathan Nadeau. He says it works great for him. It's fast, it's efficient, and I figured, you know, if a gentleman who can't see is fast and efficient in a distro, then I should be able to be fast and efficient in that distro. I, unfortunately, there's certain things that I am willing to change and welcome change. And there's certain things where I'm very comfortable in my desktop environment of choice for Linux. When I change it and it's completely new and I have to learn a whole new way of doing things, it may be more efficient, but right up front, the learning curve is so steep that I don't necessarily have time to learn something that fast before I'm just too busy trying to make sure that my clients are, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Stay steady. So I'm going to give it a shot. I have to give it a shot. I'm going to need to move forward with it. And,
why don't you, just dual boot with your laptop, have Windows on it?
I don't want to. I like Linux.
Just case in point of what happened, you know.
You're right.
You know, well, I mean, just another fallback.
You're right. It is an option, and that may be something I want to do. I mean, I have a virtual machine, but yes, you're right. In the instance of what happened with me, that's the only time. That's the first time it's happened in all the years that I've had this laptop. So there has to be something to do with the display then on within this distribution, and I think it's a great distribution. I can see that it's going to have good potential, but I think right now for what I need to do, I'm not saying it's a bad distribution. That's not what I want people to come out with this saying. Well, Martin hates Ubuntu Mate. No, I like Ubuntu Mate. I think it's great, and I would use it. It's just there's some things that right now I can't use it for.
And the thing is, it might be an easy fix. You just have to research it. You might just have to edit a conf file or something like that. And
sure.
You know, because video is really crazy on Linux. You might have to put it a little entry in to make it work right. And I haven't messed with it in a while, but it could be an easy fix, hopefully.
Or right. Inducing seizures is a feature.
It wasn't that bad, but I mean,
it wasn't. Okay, I'm just imagining this conference room just full of people, just horizontal on the floor.
No,
that's great.
It seems to be like this is an opportunity to subconsciously deliver your message. You know, really stick it home. But that's
Tim. You said that we were in Florida years ago, and we saw A Bug's Life. It's in 3D, and I got the worst headache I mean, I think because it was in 3D and it just it messed me up or something. Yeah. It does it to people. Yeah.
My wife is not a 3D fan. She will watch a movie in 3D, but she doesn't enjoy it. She doesn't enjoy the movies where they're fast. Like Cloverfield is a great example, or Saving Private Ryan. Anything that they're good movies, but anything that actually kind of looks like it was filmed with a handycam, not in the way that it looks, but in the way that it gives you that first person movement. And like I said, Cloverfield is a great example. The whole movie feels like you're watching it through a GoPro strapped to somebody's head, because you're running, you're looking, you're always doing something. And she's
the
like
Blair Witch.
We saw Avatar like that, and I'm not a big fan of it, although it didn't bother me, but
I don't mind it. My wife has to look away every now and then. So we actually saw Cloverfield in the movie theater, and I look at her one time, and she's looking down. And I'm like, "You okay? It's not that scary." She says, "I it's making me nauseous." Just so.
But you didn't see the clowns in the background. You must have missed them.
That's not even funny. Speaking of seizures,
they weren't in the background. They were in the back row.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun. All right. I've had a couple clients call me up, and this one, the back row. All right. This one, this client, she had Office 2010 and everything was working great. She has there's a network share. She was working off the network. No problems. We upgraded her to Office 2013. I actually took off 10, put 13 on, brand new install, fresh install. It was slow. She would open up the document. It would open up okay, but then it would take, 20 to 30 seconds before it would type. Like, there was just this huge lag, ginormous lag. So, now we have to figure out, is it local? Is it the network? Do I need to change the cable? What could be causing this? So, you don't want to do too many things at one time. So we started modifying things, and instantly I start looking at, well, maybe she's got spyware or spam on her computer, and we go through all these processes. And it takes a little bit of time just because she doesn't work all the time and it's part time. We finally whittle it down to an Office product, because I actually get her to, we start using Office locally on the machine. Grab one of the documents, put it locally. You still have the same problems? Yes. Okay. So now we can rule out that it's a network problem. We can say that it's definitely an Office product, because all of this did start with Office 2013. I realized that 13 is a little heavier than 10, but I wasn't sure if that was affecting anything on the network. Does that make sense? So, yeah. I had her, one of the things, I was just researching this again and again and again, and what we ended up finding is that if you turn off hardware graphics acceleration in Office 2013, I just thought, it's not going to hurt anything. Let's give this a shot. And it worked. She said, that was it. Everything now works great. And all it is in Office 2013, go to File. You can open up anything, Word, Excel, whatever. Go to File, go to Options, go to Advanced, and about halfway down, there's a checkbox that you actually have to check it to disable hardware graphics acceleration. So it's enabled by default, and you have to check it to disable it. And there you go. You can also do it via a registry key, which I may do in another one of my clients, because I have two clients now in the same location that are having just other random issues where a document won't open correctly, or it's just acting kind of funny. And now both of them are on Office 2013. I disabled graphics acceleration on one of them, and she said, oh, that worked, fixed it. So I'm almost to the point, like I'm kind of teetering over that ledge of just saying, you know what, this is going to be maybe something that I just do all the time in 2013. Because I'm just finding that this may be one of those things where, may work really great. I mean, these are not slow computers. I mean, these are i7s. These are, decent amount of RAMs, or i5s or i7s. They're Windows 7 machines. I'm not trying to run these on Core 2 Duos with, 1.5 gigs of RAM, they should be able to handle this, and they're not. So looks like there's a group policy that you can create on a domain that will turn this off. And I may just do that across the board.
Now, was the whole system running slow, or just Office?
Just Office. Everything would work out fine. She'd open up Word, and it would open up okay. But then you go to type, huge lag. Go to save it, huge lag. I mean, and that's, if you have to wait 20 seconds every time you do something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only 20 seconds, but that you're talking, that's a long time to type and wait for it to show up on the keyboard, or hit File and save, and then wait for it to actually save it, both locally and on the network. So, gonna gonna go ahead and do that. So, you know, it's just
text. I mean, I pull my hair out. It's just text. Didn't we work this out 20 years ago? Why do we complicate these things?
Anyway. I'm going to check it out on at work because we are using dual core machines. Well, mine is, but I use Office quite a bit, actually.
I remember P5s that could save text pretty well.
Right. Well, it's just text. So during this training, I have had notes in a text document. That's all it is. I mean, I use on my Linux box, I pull up Gedit or Notepad QQ, all the time. I'm just Emacs. Saving stuff in text documents. So I open up my file on this at the training, and the guy goes, "Wait a minute, that's a text document." I said, "Yeah." And he goes, "Who uses a text document anymore?" I said, "All it is it's just shortcut. It's just usernames and passwords for training. Like, why do I need it to be a Word document? You know?" So they were giving me a bad time about it, but
bashing you. I would have hit him.
No, he pays. He writes. He actually has his signature is on my checks. So.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know.
No, I just use text documents.
I bet you there's still people out there use a Notepad for building web pages.
Well, oh yeah, you know, and that's what Martin just said. He's Linux version, but it's Notepad +++. Mm-hmm. I have a shortcut to it in every machine I have because I use it almost daily. Just
I do
a lot of times I have to just copy and paste text from one app to another, but it's no, I don't need any. Who uses just that anymore? It's like I don't know. People get stuff done, I guess.
Well, people do. I mean, people use because it's Word. Word is everything is Word. It doesn't matter if you need to copy and paste, hold onto a piece of text, you know, whatever. It's Word, and there's a bit of overhead. It may not be a lot, but there's a bit of overhead in that. And I just need some place to just put a text document. You know, and a lot of times I'll even write up, you know, some training or something that I want to talk about in a text document just because I can do it. And then I'll put it over to Word and make it pretty because I'm going to print it out and I'm going to give it to you. And it's going to have bulleted lists and stuff like that. I don't need bulleted lists. I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, man. at work,
you
I have to
your business card.
One of my jobs at work is to see all any transactions that inventory was adjusted out. I have to verify that. So I have to get all the locations together where these guys did that, and what I'll do is I'll put that in a text file, then I'll import it into. Most of the time, Excel, and so I can sort it out, you know, sequentially by location. Mm-hmm. So I can go up and down the aisle and just check, make sure the counts are right. Yeah, I love Notepad.
Oh yeah, well, it's just something simple. Need that. So Mitch, you had sent this message, found this link earlier, and if for some reason you want to buy something illegally, you can't do it anymore.
Oh,
so Ross Albrecht. Anyways, the creator of the Silk Road is sentenced to life in prison. And if you guys remember, Silk Road was the place where you could buy anything with Bitcoin. Because since, remember, Bitcoin is, you can't track it. Not trackable. So it was things like you could buy heroin. And it says, here it is, Robert Albrecht, the founder of Silk Road, a notorious online marketplace for the sale of heroin, cocaine, LSD, and other legal drugs, was sentenced to life in prison on Friday in federal court in Manhattan.
I think he's 31 years old. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, 31 years old. So he faced a minimum of 20 years, but he ended up getting...
He's being set as an example.
But remember, you could do things like buy a hitman on the Silk Road. The Silk Road was used a lot for... that. You know, that's like I said, that's where Bitcoin... it was used... Bitcoin was the primary way of doing that. So interesting... I did not know this. That I mean, I knew Silk Road was there. I know I remember when the agents, the FBI, took it down. I remember that big story. But now he's paying the price for his thing. So I don't know. What do you guys?
Well, I think murder. I think it's one of the charges. I think if you read on, I believe I read that somewhere. It's horrible.
It 3 years of operation, 1.5 million transactions. And it had 100,000 accounts on it.
I stay away from anybody that does illegal. I mean, I don't want nothing to do with drugs or a gentleman I worked with, a real bright guy. He got involved with a girl who I should say she kind of does stuff for money. I'm just trying to clean it up.
Wait, she's a waiter at Arby's, right?
No.
No.
She's a Arby's.
Well, that's it. I mean, they take money. You could tip them.
All right. The waiter, right?
She does things for...
Okay.
Anyway.
You're talking about illicit activities, right, Mitch?
Well, no, she's a prostitute. And, but he...
Not illicit activities. Then.
Oh, that's what you're getting at. I'm sorry. I wasn't able to follow you.
And he got obsessed with her, and he lost his job. And they just couldn't put up with his stuff anymore. And he's a really, really bright guy. I mean, setting up the warehouse, and he knows the software really well that we use. I mean, he helped me out with a lot of things, and they just couldn't put up with his just missing time. And she's a drug addict. Anyway, they let him go like a week ago Thursday, and but I have no one's heard from him. And actually, his phone was ringing. His desk is right next to mine. I answered it. Was it Wednesday? And it was his mother. She hadn't heard from him in over a week. She didn't know what went on. So I kind of filled her in somewhat. So it's sad. I mean, wow. You just need to stay away with people that are, I don't want nothing to do with people that have illegal stuff. And it's just, number one, it's wrong and it's horrible.
Yeah. You end up going down a road. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to turn around. So speaking of illegal stuff, we had a couple computers that were compromised over about a week ago or so, and admin passwords were compromised, and they were using it for scanning scanning externally. They had a small they had a small password list and a small username list, but then they had just a text file just full of external IPs that were responding to 3389, which is the default remote desktop port. So we couldn't get into the admin password, but I have it works great, the NT offline password crack. And it's, you know, that basically just goes in and changes the hash on the low level. But I would go to run it on these machines and it would come up with a kernel error. Granted, I was booting from a USB, so I'm going to try from a CD. One of the three computers, one of the computers, in three different locations. So one of the computers were able to get in and change the password before they did. So that was good. And we've since reloaded the computer and started from scratch. And these are, their camera systems and FOB file systems. And so we've had some, they're kind of important to make sure these are up and running. And the other ones we can't get into. So I remember
COS.
It's Windows 7,
64-bit.
32, 64. I don't remember. I've got to go look. So what we've done then is we've updated them. And then put TeamViewer on, because every now and then we need to access them remotely, because there are staff on site, but every now and then we got to get to it remotely. So we put TeamViewer instead, and that, will run over either 80 or 443. So it's more secure. I think it probably runs over 443. More secure. We're not using RDP anymore. We shut those ports down. So, I was listening to Mike Tech this last week talk, and he brought up an issue that he had brought up in the past, and it's how to reset, a Windows 7 password using a Windows 7 disk, because I was not able to do this with the NT offline one. So it's an about.com website, which is not, most of the time the about.com ones are like, okay. Yeah. But this one here actually walks through step by step by step, and you end up having to you end up copying a file from the CD onto the computer. Then you reboot it, and then you get a command prompt in the login script, in the login, I believe. And then from there, then you basically create an admin account. Because right now we don't have an admin account to be able to change the admin password. We have a normal user account. So, I need to be able to get into admin so I can export all the data so that we can reload it and then import all the data. So this will allow you, this step walkthrough will allow you to create an admin account via a command prompt, an elevated command prompt. You create a user, you give it admin rights, and then you can log out and then log back in with your newly created admin and then go about your business. I'm needing that. So with the NT offline cracker not working, I'm going to be testing this out probably this weekend. That way, come next week, I can go on site and really work on trying to crack these so I can back them up so we can reload them. So it's just another way to do it. I don't know how hard this is. I've always had great luck with that, with the offline crack, but there's something with these, they're custom built computers for this specific reason. There's something with them that whenever I run them, I get the NT kernel.
I was trying to put my finger on what was different about these machines.
Yeah, they're specially made for FOB systems, camera systems, because that's the company you're buying them for specifically for that one purpose, and they're custom built machines. They have their own to reload them. You go into safe mode, and then there's their own little reload button in there. So it's completely from top to bottom their own proprietary system.
But it is using a Windows 7 OS. So.
It is using Windows 7 OS, yeah.
If you look on Brian's videos, Brian Walker, Bright Tech, I'm pretty sure he has a video on that. I think he's got hundreds of videos up there. I think he has one up there on that. I might be wrong, but I think he does. It might take you a while to hunt for it. Bright Tech 09, Bright Tech 09.
.com?
No, YouTube. I'm sorry. His YouTube channel.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I can.
I know he's got different ones up there, but I think he has one up there for, I think he's used the NT offline thing before, but I think he's got some Windows stuff up there.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'll take a look at that. Well, I'll put a link in the show notes for his YouTube channel, and then over there and take a look. But I'm going to be working on that this week.
Yeah, I'm looking for a good link right now, but I'd say try Comboot if they're 32-bit systems, the free version should work. If it's a 64-bit, it's like $15 for the pro version, but it's Konboot, KONBOOT. And what that does, it's a bootable disk. And before Windows boots, Konboot starts, it does something and makes some changes to Windows initially. And then once you get to the login screen, you don't need a password to get in.
Yeah. That used to work really well.
It's just a one-time thing. So, if you were to reboot without the disk, everything is the same as it was before. But if you actually need to make those changes, you can run Konboot first. It brings the login screen. You just hit enter at the at whatever user you're wanting to get into. And like I said, no passwords required. And then it gets you in there, and that gives you an opportunity to change the password or to create a new user with a known password, and at least you have access to the machine.
Right. Yeah, I'll definitely give this a shot. There isn't any CD. There's not any CD-ROM, Trace. Mm. That's sorry about all that. But so I have to either make a bootable USB, but I also have a USB CD-ROM. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to try to do that. I said, I'll be back down there on Tuesday. The problem was that I know that I need a bit of time. And so every time that I've had a chance to get down there, because it's all the way in Portland, and then I got to get back. And so speaking of that, I was late for training the other day. I'm looking at getting a motorcycle and just trying to really be safe on the road. And it's summertime and people kind of drive a little crazy. And I think we've all traveled enough where we see people just doing just silly, stupid things. Not necessarily, oh, that person's driving a little fast on the freeway, or that person actually shouldn't have done that. But people they're so impatient that they're traveling on the left shoulder, passing people in the dirt to get back over. So I'm 20 miles outside of Portland. So I've got a bit of a drive to get into Portland, and with traffic, it does the thing. And from where I'm at into Portland, we have to cross what's called the West Hills, and it goes up and it goes back down. And as it goes back down, it goes through a tunnel. And at the right after the tunnel, the freeway splits three directions: north, south, or into town. And the tunnel actually has a turn in it, so it backs up. Just morning commute just backs up. So I pull on the freeway way over here in Hillsboro, and I'm looking behind me just seeing what's going on, making sure. And there's a motorcycle, and he's flying by people. He zooms by me in the lane. He's not doing anything crazy, but he gets in front of me, and then he kind of does the California thing where he goes between the cars, but he's over the lane and then back over to another lane and just driving. And I think, he just needs to slow down. It's busy traffic. And I'm on a ridge, and I'm looking down. We have these tiny little rollers, and I'm on a ridge looking down, and I see him in the left lane, the turnout on the freeway, just the emergency exit. and he's flying by people. Dust is kicking up, and he's just flying by people.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's first off, that's absolutely silly in a car, and it's flat out deadly on a bike. So he's gone. I don't see him again. Get up to the top of the tunnel, come back down, and he, all of a sudden, traffic stops. I'm like, okay, it's busy. I understand. And then I use Waze, and all of a sudden, these things start popping up for accidents. Oh, man. It's in the tunnel, which means that everybody gets backed up, and it's like, okay. So then, and it's early enough that I hear fire, police, and ambulance. They have to come from Portland. So they got to come up past me, go up to the top of the hill where there's a turnaround, an off-ramp, on-ramp, back down, push everybody over to the side of the road to get to where they need to go, because you can't come the opposite direction. And finally make it through all the traffic. I let everybody know, hey, I'm going to be a little late for, you know, this. And I get through the traffic. The OSP has one lane blocked off. The police car has one lane blocked off. They have an ODOT, like, emergency response truck blocking off one lane. So everybody, three lanes now down to one. And as I'm going up there, I'm noticing that there's very little glass. You know, it's not a car accident. And what do I see on the side of the road? A mangled blue motorcycle that just passed me 20 minutes earlier, flying down the freeway. I'm assuming the gentleman is okay. I don't know. I never saw anything on the news or follow up like that. But this guy was flying so fast and made my day late. So I was just a little frustrated in that morning, because
if he had just slowed down like you were thinking.
I mean, you know, we all got there at the same time. He created more issues than him just doing what he, you know. So, anyways, it's my little frustration story about motorcycles. And I want to buy a motorcycle, and I want to do that. But it's people like that, and you know, I used to ride bikes, you know, and it's people who just blow through stoplights in downtown Portland that give everybody a bad name. So. And I know that he's the exception, not the rule, but it was one of those things where, you know, now he sped up, was so in such a hurry, and now probably didn't get to where he needed to go because he was hauled off in an ambulance, and I don't know, an unknown condition, you know?
Probably not, no.
So, that con boot looks really good. I'm gonna take a look. They have it, looks like they both have it for Windows, for Mac, and then you can buy a 2-in-1, a Windows / Mac version, so it's $15.
Yeah, that's new to me, so I've always had the Windows. I've never known him to have anything but a Windows version. So, yeah, I just noticed that. I was like, that's interesting.
I don't see a free download anymore, though.
It's around.
So, but even the personal license is $15. They have a commercial license for $75. I don't know the difference, but, you know, I'm definitely willing to pay for, you know, if I have a product that works well, I'll definitely throw them some money. So, definitely, I'll give this a shot and check it out. We had an email. This came in from Paul Sylvester. Now, Paul, if you may recognize his name, he actually had an email a couple weeks ago regarding some of his tutorials and some scripts that he had done. An episode 157? Was it really just the last show?
That or the one, either that or the one before that. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, no, it actually was just last week. He's the one who talked about the blog post on. He's the one who did the virtual
Spinrite.
So that's where he's from. So after our conversation with Paul, a different Paul last week, back and forth about the validity of Spinrite and whether or not it's good or bad, Paul Sylvester wrote back again. And he said, "Dear Geeksters, heard the last episode," and he writes show 157, "and I really felt the need to talk about why it can be used in maintenance tool and a backup recovery tool. I'll tell you this, I've had many times when nothing else worked but Spinrite to recover the most out of the bad hard drive. I've also seen cases where the smart system was reporting no problems, and when I run Spinrite, I get Spinrite warnings from the Spinrite Spinrite that the hard drive is about to fail. Even then, after rebooting the hard drive, the smart system then starts yelling at me that the hard drive is about to go. This is the one reason why it can be used in maintenance utility and also as a backup utility. We're all aware of just how much defect can grow in a hard drive because of particle or unusual wear and tear using it." And there's a link in here from a wiki thing. "I also know that we are always worried about doing more damage than good. The problem is that once it's damaged, how do we truly know? We may never know until we let a program like SpinRite force the hard drive to detect the problem and or make the drive work harder than it has ever done before. This is the only reliable method that I have found to know if the drive is going to fail or if it's somewhat of a healthy drive. I cannot trust the nature of the smart cards on the HDD because each and every company has their own unique way of determining when to tell the end user. That's the nature of the beast. Just throwing some of this out there for you to consider, Paul Sylvester. So he was following up with our conversation of whether or not SpinRite can be used as maintenance mode or whether it should be used when we have an issue. But I just wanted to thank Paul for writing us back in.
Sure. Yeah, he's been on the show before years ago, and I've been following him. He's all right. He's a good guy.
Yeah, does he have a? I mean, it's Paul's Tech, PaulsTech Talk, TALK.com. So maybe we can, Paul, if you're listening, maybe we should reach out and see if we have him get him to come on the show. We'll even make it, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning for him on
yeah,
a Saturday.
We'll get a lot of visitors.
Well, there'll be an empty spot. Yes. Yeah. Oh, come on. You're 3 hours ahead of me. What's it like over there? What's the future hold for me?
it's awful. There's motorcycles everywhere.
Oh man,
actually, motorcycles and flashing screens.
Great.
And clowns and gears you can't log into. It's awful.
Too soon.
Sorry. No, it's okay. Clogged tunnels.
Oh yeah. So that's what my week's kind of been by that. Yeah, that's what my week's been held. It's, you know, I've got some clients who want some more information from me. Definitely going to be making the steps to bring on another gentleman and, I'll be able to kind of grow and expand. Looking forward to that. Going to be writing up, some, not really proposals, but I gave her my flyer. I have a little cardstock flyer. And she wants to know some more information about me and I realize my flyer is a little outdated because it doesn't mention things like managed antivirus. It doesn't mention anything, you know, spam management. All the kind of the new things that I've really been working on and has worked out really, really well. So, I'm going to be writing up some stuff because it sounds like she has users and clients that may need my assistance. So, hey, I'll take it.
Nice. You need people.
People need people.
That's right. But you need people now. You're a busy man.
I am. It's been nice. It's really, things have tapered down enough where I can spend some time, you know, possibly training this gentleman or having him coming along with me to a couple job sites. And, I mean, extracurricularly. So business has slowed down, but yet softball kicked in and, you know, there's four games a week and practices and, you know, band and, you know, we stay busy. I'm going to mow the yard today because it's going to rain on Monday. Ooh. Right. We've been in, mid to upper 80s here the last couple of days. So everything's, I ended up having to take a weed eater to the backyard because the grass just grew so fast. And now I can go out and mow it because come Monday, it's going to be low 60s and raining. So,
do you get the humidity out there at all, Mark?
Yesterday was a little humid. The thunderstorms over the Cascades started to come westbound. I felt the humidity rise. I'm pretty susceptible to that. Gets humid, and I'm the first one to complain.
It's pretty bad out here. It can be.
I know. I definitely want to go to Florida. I want to see some of the East Coast a little bit more. You will not find me there in June, July, August, September. I think I was in New York in October, and that was lovely. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, I don't want to get caught in the humidity. I don't want to get caught in the snow. So I think that's probably what October 15th is about the only day I can make it out to the East Coast. It's like here, you know, if you want a day without sun, with sunshine and nice weathers, that's June 7th.
Actually, we're really behind on rain. We need some rain. We haven't had too much rain at all. We're like, well, Tech Austin, but they get terrible flooding. Terrible, terrible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't hear how Liam survived through all that. I've seen him. I've heard him on, you know, Voxer, but do anybody know if he weathered that? Sorry for the bad pun. Well,
is he in Austin?
I don't know if he's in Austin. I know he's in Texas. He's in Texas. So, and being that I've never been to Texas, everybody who's from Texas probably lives in the same place.
I don't know. I was at the airport, Houston.
It's, you know what I mean. You're from Oregon. You must live here. Well, no, I don't. You know,
Texas ain't nothing but stairs and weirdos, or something like that,
or something like that. Well, on that note, I don't want to cut anybody off. Have you guys got something to talk about?
Not really.
No.
Trying to think. Oh, I already said I have a new mic.
It's just, I told you, I would not be sharp.
Do you have anything in your mystery bag?
Well, no, don't do this to me.
No, I just quite, you can say no.
No, I mean, I would actually volunteer it if I did.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't realize. Feel like a
fail.
No, don't fail. I don't have anything in mind, so.
Oh, here's something. Here, a flash from the past.
What is that bizarre?
All I know is that I think you have to operate it with a pencil.
It looks like you would wear it as a pair of glasses.
Can you make out what it says on there? I don't know if you can make it out.
Hard.
Back it off a little bit.
It's too close. Here, let me kick that video there. Hard Times Reunion.
It is from.
Wait, were you just asking us because you can't actually read it yourself?
No.
Is that what
this is from?
Read it without glasses.
This is from. Like,
hey guys, read this for me. What does this say?
I used to play in these bands. This is from 1980. 1982. This guy gave it to me. It sounds horrible.
It said 2000 on it.
Well, that's when he. That's not right. It was before that.
Maybe the gentleman who wrote that.
I think it's when he put it on there. No, this was. It's way before that. It does say 2000. 11/5/2000. That's not right. I think he just copied it over and put it on there for me. Gave it to me. I've had it since 2000, but it's from like 1980.
Wow. Well, or 82, Mitch was holding 83. Up was a Memorex cassette tape.
Yeah.
Cassette.
Wow.
Audio.
Audio cassette. I actually probably. I think I have some somewhere, but. Man, that's. I
don't think I have anything to play it anymore. I think I got rid of all my cassette players. I got to look around.
Well, I remember when my wife and I got married, I had a CD. The CDs had just come out, and in the car that I had, my father had put a CD in, you know. So yeah. I had my little, you know, shield or my little bag full of CDs, you know, individual things, and whether it's the one that goes on the visor or whatever, you know. And then my wife had a zipped up bag that had slots for her tapes because she had a 76 Chevy Nova, no Chevy Love at the time. And so you know, behind the seat was, you pulled out this little, looked like a little briefcase, and you unzip it, and it was full of, you know, 1980s music. You name it, it was probably in there. So that was late 80s, early 90s, you know, tapes. And you pulled out and you're like, oh, take a little pencil or your finger, tighten it up, put it in there.
Oh, little good Bananarama.
Oh, little Bananarama, little Amy Grant.
Oh, there we go.
Christmas albums, of course.
Yes.
I think they all were.
Yeah. All right, we're digressing super fast.
Oh gosh, okay.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging out with us this fine Saturday morning. We're definitely gonna try to get us back on, but you know, we're flexible. That's part of just our jobs. We have, all of us have careers and lives, and we get a chance to podcast when we can, but we definitely don't want to let it go too long. So there you go. People want to send us an email like Paul Sylvester did, or even send us some voicemail. We haven't had one in a long time.
Are you talking to me? I'm there daydream. I'm checking the audio. And, if you want to reach us, you think I would have remembered it by heart now. If you want to reach us, you can send us emails at geeksters@podnuts.com. Or send us a voicemail, which we haven't had in a long time, actually. Come on, Jeff. We need some voicemails. Call us at 707-6-PODNUT. That's 707-676-3688.
All right, Tim, I'm now talking to you. If people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way they can do that?
Hey, man. I'm like Tim Bauermeister on G+, dude. Hey, checking me out. There you go.
Hey, man.
And, Tim, your avatar for Google is mighty fine this morning.
Yeah, that's a, well, you know what? I was just hearing how people don't watch us in the live feed. So you know what? If you don't see the video, man, you're missing out. Of course, it's always available. You can go to YouTube, just Google it up. So it is like there. But we got a question in the chat because I always change my name. It's like, why just, it's not because legal reasons or anything. Is it based, it's based on my, it's, I'm not trying to not be found.
You don't want to get caught.
Yeah, it's just like my, depending on how I feel that day, I just throw in whatever name I want. And same with on the video, we have my lower net, my lower third has my name, and I can choose an image. Well, I choose whatever image I want. And some days I feel like this, and it's always something different. And today it was, I made that for a friend. I shopped his face into that, so. And if anybody cares what it is, you can just go to YouTube and find it for yourself. So
there you go. There you go. If you want to follow me, I'm Martin at ObandoComputing.com, M Obando in Google Plus, and Obando Computing, usually hanging out in the IRC chat. Guys, thanks for hanging out with us again for on an early Saturday morning. I'm glad that we were able to get a show in, and I miss you guys. I say that very well. Anyways, I'll just let it be. So, guys, have a great week, and don't forget to be gruntled. We'll see you next time. Bye.